Step right up. Step right up. Welcome to track 4 on this masterclass for What Do I Want? And in this track, we're going to be stepping right up. And what I mean by this is that as we've worked our way through this masterclass, we've gone from very abstract ideas, talking about what does it really mean to define what you want. As we've been talking about, it's so easy to get stuck at these hard decisions, saying, I just don't know what I want. Do I want to do this or want to do that? Yet, the process we've been working through is about getting yourself moving, laying out this grandest vision, honing in on that step that's right in front of you, laying out your roadmap so that even if you don't know what you're moving towards, you're moving. Just honing in on your different tracks, the paths that might lead you there, and the step that's right in front of you. And in this track, we're going to step right up and be more specific. How specifically do you hone in on these next steps? First, we're going to work through more specific goal-setting frameworks, which you also see in my book. And that's how you take those steps and turn them into legitimate goals. Step 2, we're going to work through a framework, the SED framework, S-E-D, which I build for my clients to explore these sorts of options. So it's not just a matter of, hey, go do your next step, but what's a framework that you can utilize to be highly systematic in the way you explore your options? The third how we're going to hit is timeline it. So now you've laid this out, let's get real specific. What actions are you going to take this month, this week, this day, this hour, so that you keep moving every moment towards a life you truly want? All right, let's dive in. We finished up the last track with the 4-step G to P, or 4-step goals to process. And I want to start this track by just going through this again with you briefly. And that's because I want to keep honing this for you so that you can imagine yourself doing this all the time. You see, because it's such a basic process that keeps reminding your brain that you don't need to have all the answers now. In fact, you don't need to have anything more than 2 answers. Some type of vision or visions of the grandest versions of your career and life that you're moving towards. And then just honing in on those steps that are right in front of you. And as we walk through this, it will set us up to step right up into these things that we're focused on in this track. Step 1, you likely remember what to do. Step into your vision. What is this for you? When is this for you? You might have many visions of your grandest career, of your grandest life. You might be looking out 2 years, 5 years, 40 years. No matter when it is or what it is, really get a feel for this now. What is it like to already be here? You might be seeing yourself here in your grandest vision. Make it bigger. Make it brighter. Make it more real. You might be standing in it, seeing what you would see. How does it feel? Step 2. Just step back to the now and ask yourself why. And in the last track, we went with the why not. But here you might start asking yourself a different type of why. Why does this really matter to you? Really, why does it matter to you to create the career and life you truly want? Why? Why is it meaningful to you? Why is there great purpose in living this process, creating now the life you truly want? Step 3, looking forward from where you are now. In your roadmap, you've just identified a number of tracks that keep you moving in the right direction. And what are some of those steps that you see? Just one step on your roadmap. You might have already taken it. So what's 2-step? Or 7-step? What are you noticing right in front of you now? And here in this track, we're going to be more clearly defining this step. We're going to be stepping right up to it. So move to step 4 in the G2P and visualize it. Mentally rehearse it now. See this step, or different steps along different tracks. See yourself taking them. See where they're leading to the next step, and the next step again. And feel yourself, like in your car on that open road, moving fast and faster again towards what you want. All right, so I hope that was fun for you. I love doing these sorts of exercises, hours a day. I condition my brain in this way. Not just because I'm laying tracks deeply that enable you to keep moving towards what you want, but because it's fun. See, people say, well, this is guided visualization or hypnosis. No, it's fun. It's going into your mind and imagining things how you love them to be and enjoying it now. So how much more can you enjoy thinking about what you want, seeing the steps in front of you, imagine yourself taking them? Now we've covered this again, let's drop down deeper into a very specific process for lining up your goals. See, I said in track 1 that many goal-setting processes are very limited. Either they force you to think too big and have some big, hairy, audacious goal, but no way of getting there, or too small, where you've got to be specific and measurable and actionable. And while in general these goal-setting frameworks fail, if used very specifically, as we're using them, they're incredibly powerful. You see, in the grandest vision, we're lining up your BHAG, but we're not just leaving it at that. And in this step, we're coming at it very specifically, making your goals very actionable, but only in the context of having this grand vision you're moving towards. Only in the context of having your roadmap that just orients you to this next step. So let's talk about 5 principles of goal setting, and you can see these in the book as well. So now that we have got you looking ahead on your roadmap, we're getting laser focused on specifically what are those steps right in front of you. And here it makes sense to come back to these more traditional ways of setting goals because even though I mocked the SMART system early in the masterclass, it's a very powerful system once you know exactly what you're locked onto. You're ready to get much more specific and actionable. If you're following along in the book, we're now on the topic of setting goals, and you can see the chart there. What are these 5 principles of goal setting to work through? Principle 1 is your goals are a process. Principle 2, you want your goals to be well-formed. 3, action-oriented. 4, motivating. 5, planned all the way to the end. And here I want to be very specific again. We're not talking about planning your goal all the way to the end. We're talking about this step right in front of you. Is it planned all the way to the end? For instance, if we go back to my friend at McKinsey who I wrote about in the book, if she's deciding, do I start my own business or not? And she's decided she's going to go reach out to 3 people and go sit down with them and ask them questions. Plan this step all the way to the end. What questions are you asking them? How specifically do you get in front of them? Once you're in front of them, how do you organize this conversation to drive towards the goal that you're driving in this meeting? So this way, what you see we're doing is, rather than taking the big goal that is ill-defined, we're just picking off each step and making it very specific and actionable. And as we work through each of the principles, I'll keep coming back to this so we can just make this as clear as it can be. Principle one, a goal is a process, process, process. Of course, this is the big idea we've been running this entire masterclass. That rather than see your goal as a thing and have to therefore decide yes or no, do you marry this person, do you not? Instead, convert it to a process that enables you to reach the decision over time. And in that case, by the way, dating is the process. You don't need to decide, do you marry this person now? You date, and over time you figure it out. So if we come back to my friend at McKinsey, one of her roadmaps is, does she start her own company? It's a great question, but again, it gives you zero information on how to actually answer it. So you convert that to a process. What's a process to explore whether you start your own company? And you might just decide, oh, one step is you're going to go out and talk to three business leaders and collect intel, see what you learn. So then again, you convert this to a process. What's the process of sourcing who you're going to go see? What's the process of sitting down with them? What questions are you asking? How are you driving that conversation to a conclusion? And again, you might see that this is a process. So what's the process of getting to the right questions? So rather than saying, oh, I really need to figure out what those questions are, what's a process that helps you figure this out? Now, of course, at some level, it just becomes obvious that you've built this process that enables you to keep taking steps. It's like the marathon example we talked about earlier. To train yourself for that marathon, you build a process. That process might be on Tuesday you run 6 miles, on Friday you run 3 miles, Sunday you run another 8 miles. Whatever the process is, now you can chunk it down again into another process. What's the process by which you get yourself prepared to run your 6 miles? Do you have to organize your day a certain way? Prepare your body, your nutrition. What's the process that enables you to achieve that goal of that run? And the more you just keep breaking it down, the simpler it gets. See, for instance, a lot of people struggle to just get out there and run. Great, so what's a process that makes it easy? Like leaving your shoes by the door or putting a note on your wall. Whatever is the process, make that the goal. Because once the goal is the process and the process is the goal, it's easy to keep moving. Principle two, a goal is well formed. And well formed, as I write in the book, has three meanings. First, your goals must be stated in the positive. Let's come back to the hedge fund manager here. See, his status quo track was, does he stay in the hedge fund business? The problem he had was he could only see the reasons why he wanted to leave. This business has changed. I don't see how I win at this. This isn't a great place for me to be anymore. What do you notice about all those things? That they're stated in the negative. The question I asked him is, well, could you imagine an opportunity that actually did make sense? And he said, not really. I said, well, what if one did show up? Would you be interested in that? Of course I would. Great. So on your status quo track, the only thing that matters is there an opportunity that makes sense? You might decide that you don't want to stay on your status quo track, but at least frame it in a positive way so that you can now explore it. A second criteria for a well-formed goal is that your goals must have an evidence procedure. Now, this one's really obvious, but it's also one that keeps us stuck a lot of the time. I just want to create more options. Okay, how many more? What type of options? Will any option do? Or are you looking to create specific types of options? How specific? What type of options? What is the evidence procedure where you will know that you've created these options? A third concept of a well-formed goal is that your goals must have specific procedures. So if we come back to my friend at McKinsey and her status quo track, she's saying, well, McKinsey might make sense for me if I'm going to keep getting promoted. Great. So on her roadmap, how does she explore this? How does she best get a handle on whether she gets promoted? How she gets promoted? One specific procedure here is to go talk to a number of the partners and collect intel. But which partners? How will she know when she's executed on that? Does she need to get to 10 of them? 5 of them? A certain partner? What specific procedures are required to complete this step on her roadmap? Principle 3, a goal is action-oriented. Defining your goal as a well-formed process makes it actionable because you've defined it in a way where you now have responsibility for achieving it. For instance, it's very different to set a goal as, they better promote me. And this one makes me laugh, by the way, because all throughout my career at Goldman Sachs, I heard these awful goals. I better get paid this year. They better promote me. Okay, so do you have any role in that? You see that entire frame comes from a victim mindset and actually from a loser mindset, which is a leader says, how am I going to get myself promoted? How am I going to get myself paid? A victim or a loser just sits there and waits for someone else to anoint them. And so here you're really making a choice. Are you leading? Are you driving your goals? Or are you hoping that someone else maybe achieves your goals for you? So that's an example of being action-oriented on your status quo track. Another loser thing that I heard so many times at Goldman Sachs is on your alternative track. Well, if something else comes along, then I definitely consider it. Okay. So are you saying that you're interested in leaving and you can't be bothered hunting it down? Are you saying that you don't really believe that anyone else would want you, but if they came after you, then maybe you would take it? Again, I'm being a bit of a jerk on this, but I'm also being specific to what you see all the time. How do you get action-oriented in exploring your other options? That's the roadmap. You've got the alternative track laid out, and you're identifying just 2, 3, 4 actions that you're now taking. And you see that it puts you in responsibility, but also in control, because now you can actually create options for yourself, rather than sitting back hoping maybe someone perhaps comes and bails yourself out of a job that you don't want to be in. Principle 4 here, to me, is really the juice on this entire process. When you've oriented yourself in this way, it should be so motivating. It's so awful to feel stuck. It's so awful to feel like you don't have options. But once you've laid out your roadmap and you've identified just a couple steps to be taking, this can be so motivating. And you can keep juicing up your motivators by asking stuff like, what do I get through achieving my goal? What do you get through just taking this step? Maybe it just gives you a sense of accomplishment. maybe just makes you feel a little bit less stuck. And what are the away froms? What are you moving away from by taking this step? No longer feeling stuck. No longer feeling fearful. No longer feeling this lack of control in your career and life. It's so motivating. Ask yourself a question like, why is this step so important to me? Like my friend at McKinsey, and she actually took this step, which is just going and sitting down with other business leaders. She realized so many people face the same problems. And in fact, at some point in their career, they were asking the same types of questions. And this gave her a sense of camaraderie with them. And in fact, one of these people that she first met actually helped her move and land her next position. Another question, what does successfully achieving this step lead to? And this, of course, is the real power of the roadmap. Just by taking one step, boom, new steps open up for you. Just by exploring this differently, now you've got new intel, new excitement, new focus. Just taking these new steps is motivating. And goals are there to motivate us. That's the point. So how much more excited can you get just taking steps? Principle 5 is back to where we started. A goal is planned out. Again, we're just chunking down to small steps here. So if you go back to the hedge fund manager, he might go and buy a business. He doesn't need to plan that out all the way through to buying the business. He's only laying out on his roadmap just a couple steps to take right now. But he wants to plan those through to the end. It's one thing to email a few people and see if maybe they'll meet with him and then drop the ball. Relative to following up all the way through to sitting down with them and then taking whatever next steps that leads to. And you see, if you're just executing on these principles, it becomes self-referential. You've planned it to the end. That's motivating. You've got these actions that you're taking. You're building this accomplishment cycle. By definition, to get there, you've had to well form your goals. So you're away from crappy thinking like, oh, I don't know if this is what I want to do. Oh, if someone offered me a job, I would consider it. And you've built a process that enables you to keep following through, driving all the way to what you want. Now we've covered the principles for goals, I want to drop down into an even more specific process for you. And this here is an example of the type of process that I build for my clients. See, one thing that maybe isn't clear in my work is that I build bespoke systems for my clients. See, this notion of coaching has become somewhat trendy, but I don't understand it, to be honest with you. I don't just meet with people one-off. What I do is build highly systematic approaches to getting what you want. And then I work with my clients all the way through until they get it. There's no one system fits all. We build bespoke programs for my client. And this is an example of a structure that I use to build these programs for people. And I'm actually going to mention two structures with you. And then we're just going to drop into the second one and do that in more detail. That's the SED framework that I mentioned earlier. The first process is an overarching framework for how you go about these types of searches. So whether you're on your status quo track or exploring your alternatives, what's an overarching framework that you can use to explore it? And there's three steps to this: goals, process, and skills. And there's two reasons we're not going to drop into this. One is because we actually are covering this throughout the masterclass, right? Which is get clear on the goals, build your process to explore them. The second reason is that I'm not going to be covering skills here. But the reason that I mention this is because, ultimately, if you want to get really good at crushing whatever this step is for you, then you want to be highly skilled. You want to constantly be coming back to your goals and conditioning them over and over again. And that's why I keep running you through the four-step G2P process, because I want you to have a way to just keep coming back and drilling into your mind what we're doing here. You're getting so juicy about your grand vision and so juicy about your goals that you're able to hone in on this roadmap every day and then step up to the step that's right in front of you. The process we're going to drop into in a minute, which is the SED process, and skills, well, I'll just say this. What matters most to getting what you want? Being highly skilled. And skills matter deeply to everything that we've covered in this masterclass. If you want to be highly skilled at dreaming up the grandest vision of your career and life, you're exercising your imagination. You're exercising your mental muscles. This is a skill. To draw up your roadmap and get highly strategic about your next steps is a skill. It's like games like chess, which are highly strategic, train us in thinking this way in everything that we do. If you're playing chess here, you're more likely to win. Near every step in exploring your opportunities, whether that's your status quo track or anything else, comes down to skills of communications and influence. If you're highly skilled at influencing other people, quite simply, you're going to create more opportunities for yourself. The other skill I suggest honing in on is time management. The better you get with your time, the more time you have to explore all of these tracks. And this is no mean feat, right? How many of us have an extra couple hours every day to do this? Not many. And so what you really want to do is become so expert at your time that you make time for these processes. And that's all we have room to really talk about here. But I wanted to mention this because this overarching framework is how you bring it all together. Constantly condition your goals. Hone in on the process that we're going to drop into now. And get highly skilled at every aspect of what it takes to keep driving your career and life towards what you want. All right, let's drop into the SED process. And that's S-E-D, I'm just being phonetic and messing around. And the SED process is quite simply source, evaluate, decide. Source, evaluate, decide. Do you see the power of what we're doing here? Think about any alternative that you're trying to create. See, as I've said a number of times, we started more general and we're getting more specific. The SED process is, just say you're sitting in your job now, you're thinking, how do I create other alternatives? We dropped down into the roadmap and said, draw up the track, easy. Dream up the grandest vision, draw up the roadmap, hone in on the next step. Great. The SED process is how specifically you do that. Sourcing. What process do you create to source more opportunities? What does that look like specifically? You want to think of this here like a salesperson. If you're driving leads to drive sales, what are your sourcing funnels? What is your sourcing process? The second step, evaluate, is where you're getting really clear on the criteria that you are using to evaluate opportunities. And there's lots of ways to do this, and I'm not going to give you a specific map, but instead I would suggest, think about the values table that we hit earlier. What really matters to you in exploring these different opportunities? Lay it out and measure all of your opportunities against these types of criteria. D, decide. This is no mean feat either. You might go from feeling stuck in your job now to creating 8 opportunities. And that creates another problem. How do you decide between those? Take a guess how. That's right. You convert that to a process as well. If you can't decide, what's a process that you build that leads you to decide? What more information do you need? What do you need to learn in order to make that decision easy for you? Let's drop into the said process. S stands for sourcing. As we just hit on, if you're looking to create more opportunities, how do you plan to source those? See, the cheap seats version of this, and it just sounds so pathetic to even say it, is you gotta get out there and network. How often do we hear stuff like this? So you just gotta go network. Okay, where? Who with? How? What's the context for that? This is where you want to get highly strategic in your sourcing. So if we just drop into one example, the hedge fund manager who I met with yesterday. He's thinking of buying a business. How does he source more ideas on that? Let alone how does he source the business? That's a whole different sourcing problem. But if you had to explore that yourself, what sourcing process might you set up to do it? Come back to the metaphor of a salesperson. They get very good at building sales funnels. That means they're identifying, maybe targeting groups of people and building individual funnels around them. A highly skilled salesperson is not just looking for leads. They're looking for highly qualified leads. And so here, if you're sourcing more ideas, who are you going to? Why? Who is a qualified source of this information? So the hedge fund manager, as we talked about it, identified a handful of people who he knows can be really helpful in exploring this idea with him. They've either bought businesses before, they're in businesses of business broking, they're in businesses of lending, and that got us kicking around a number of different funnels that he could build in order to source these better ideas. And just building these funnels, one is, okay, so who do you know who's bought businesses? Great, you might just stuff three names in the top of that funnel. Now you've got a process. You're not just randomly networking, working your way through your contacts. One of the people we identified is not even in his network, but he's close enough to that person that through one of his friends, he can source that lead. And who knows where that gets to? This is the real power of sourcing. You don't know where every conversation will get to. So if you can be highly targeted in who you go to and how you go to them, you have no idea what type of opportunities might be created from this. Another way to think about sourcing is to think about what ideas you create in your own mind. How do we lead ourselves to new ideas? So back in the day, my friend at McKinsey, one of the things I suggested to her was 10 books to read, because just reading new books gave her new ideas. One thing that was incredibly valuable to me in creating new ideas, I just call mix it up. Mix it up says go out and get new experiences. Back in the day for me, that led me to mixed martial arts. It led me to sing. Over the years, it led me to do so many different things, like living a number of seasons in the mountains of Vail, Colorado. And doing this, mixing it up, kept sourcing new ideas for me, kept creating new ways of thinking. And so as you think about this step of sourcing, think really expansively. Not just who can lead you to better ideas or lead you to opportunities. What is going to give you the new experiences that open up and source new ideas for you? And as you keep diving into this bucket of sourcing, you start to realize there are lots of different ways to create new opportunities for yourself. This in itself opens up more of your process, because you realize that whereas you might have felt stuck in the past, you can see there's lots of different ways for you to keep moving forward. An interesting idea I came across on this topic as well is that even though we often try and do it within our own networks, in fact, often the 80-20 here is that the best ideas are going to come from people you've just met. So people who are already in your network are less likely to be able to give you new ideas, because if you'd been able to give you those ideas, they likely would have already. But if you can utilize people in your network to get new introductions, to create these new green tickets, you're more likely to source and open up new options for yourself. So you hear in this topic of sourcing, I'm not giving you a five-step approach to figuring it out. Network with people, build your resume, talk to recruiters, all those things I assume that you'll figure out on your own. As I said earlier, I don't teach people to tie their shoes. Instead, see this step of sourcing as all the ways that you might keep creating opportunities, might keep creating ideas, and filling in more specific details on how you keep taking the steps along your roadmap. Step two is explore. Once you're creating opportunities, how do you explore them? So if you're sitting there looking at a handful of boxes on your roadmap, how do you explore those opportunities? What's your criteria to explore them? What sort of intel do you need to keep making decisions? How do you get clear on whether you're looking at your options through the right lens? How do you determine whether your status quo track is more appealing than those other options? A hint here, by the way, the grass is never greener, and often you're better off with the devil you know. And so, if you're really down on your current job, really stretch yourself to explore how can you make your current job better rather than changing it. How many people jump from one bad marriage to another? So how do you perhaps step back and make sure that you're exploring your current role, your status quo track, objectively? What other sourcing might you put in place to keep exploring this track? What about your other options? How are you going to reset them? How are you going to compare them? If you go back to the values chart, as I mentioned earlier, you might start evaluating them based on, say, compensation, or fun, or sense of culture, or opportunity and upside. Whatever it is, what criteria do you lay out that enables you to best explore your options? Just as with sourcing, exploring also comes from connecting with the right people. Exploring might even be connecting with the right people. That might be the step. You might be sitting with someone asking them, well, how did you explore a job move? What were your criteria? How do I best evaluate what matters to me? As I mentioned earlier, my friend from McKinsey, she went around and spoke to a number of CEOs that she knew and other trusted advisors, and one of them had actually laid out a very methodical process that was really helpful for her. Not only was that person extremely helpful in sourcing opportunities, but also thinking through, once you've laid out, say, 8 of these opportunities, how do you methodically work through them relative to what really matters to you? See, one of the things that's really cool about this approach is the more people you talk to, the more common you realize these challenges are. And many people have already explored the sort of answers that you need. So just by exploring, you source more ideas. And in sourcing more ideas, it leads you to explore more. This I refer to as a vortex. This is when you take a funnel and you get it spinning. Once you've got that funnel spinning, you've got great momentum. And this momentum is what really gives you the pop to keep moving forward in your process. Source, explore, source, explore, source, explore. This is what gets us fired up to keep taking these small steps every day. Step 3 in the said process is D, for Decide. Source, explore, decide. See, in some ways, this is the topic we've been working to all along. Because what we've said is, if you don't know what you want, then build a process that allows you to keep moving towards it over time. Yet what we're saying here as well is at some point you need to decide, and that's true. So how do you lay out criteria for you to actually make the decision? And this is where I keep kicking the can down the road. The answer is, what's your process? So again, decide can be this thing that I just need to make a yes-no decision. Now's the time, gotta bite the bullet. It's now or never, is it? Or if you haven't yet decided, does it just tell you need more intel? That you haven't yet had enough experiences that lead you to decide? And it's kind of like the marriage topic we talked about up front. When you know, you know. So if you don't know, by definition, the answer is no. So if you don't yet know whether it makes sense to follow an alternative track, by definition, you've already decided. You stay on your status quo track and you keep exploring options, or you keep collecting intel that will help you keep making those better decisions over time. Another way to look at this that's really important is to understand in your mind what leads you to become convinced. So for instance, some people decide that they want to go and look for a house to buy. And in their mind they say, well, I'm just going to know when I know. What leads them to be convinced that it's now time to decide? Is it the look of the house, the smell, the feel? Do they need to see three houses so they can know which is right for them? This notion of convinces is really important because it helps us identify actually what are those things that lead us to decide. When you first took your job, how did you decide then? Did you need to make a decision and you just went with it? Did you have two other options and then you were evaluating them? Did you get advice from someone who said this is the right thing to do? Did you just have this gut feel? And so in some ways we're kicking it down the road and saying, well, if you can't decide, keep collecting intel. But also we're saying, analyze what it is inside of you that leads you to decide. How do you go from being uncertain to being certain? See, because all day, every day, we're doing this. Think about when you go and sit at a restaurant. You say, I don't really know what I feel like. How do you make that decision? See, it's generally a low-risk decision. If you eat a meal and it's not the greatest, you didn't optimize that decision, that's okay because you're going to eat another meal that day. So are you optimizing or satisficing on that decision? And what about when it comes to making a decision on the track? Are you optimizing? Are you satisficing? And over what time frame are you analyzing it? See, a lot of the time these decisions become hard for us because we say stuff like the hedge fund manager, I just don't know if I want to do that for the rest of my life. Who's saying you need to? What are you actually deciding? Are you deciding this is a good 2-year track? Are you deciding this is a good 20-year track? When people get married, are they deciding to be together forever? Kind of. But obviously with divorce rates where they are, not really. So the more intel you can get about how you decide and on what parameters you decide and your process of deciding, you keep collecting the intel you need to keep making the right decisions at the right times. And so you see what I'm doing here. It may be somewhat of an unsatisfactory answer, but it's a consistent and robust process. If you lack the intel you need to make a different decision, then by definition, your decision's already been made for you. And you want to keep running your process to keep moving forward down your status quo track constantly evaluating those other options that are right for you. As long as you keep moving, you keep creating those options. And as long as you keep creating the options moving in the right direction, how are you not on your grandest journey living the career and life that you truly want? That's it for the said process. Now let's just hit the third how on this track, which is a very simple process. In the book, in the chapter Define It, I refer to this process as Timeline It. And the reason it's called Timeline It is because in the step one to the system for doing what you want, you're not developing a full-blown plan, which happens in step three of the system. Instead, you're just laying out very basic timeline steps. As we've been doing all along through this program, the goal isn't to lay out step number 73. It's just to really hone in on those steps that are right in front of you that keep you moving. So as we step into timelining it, I suggest that you only begin real basically. At the most, think 6 months out. So you might be just putting some tasks 6 months out. But really what you want to do is, in whatever format makes sense for you, could be an Excel document, could be a Word document, could be a calendar, could be a more organized system, but just start laying out some steps that you're committing yourself to take. Because this is the real point of timelining it, is giving yourself commitment and accountability. By doing it in such a simple way, you're getting very, very clear on what matters now, rather than all those steps ahead that may matter one day in the future, simply honing in on the steps that you're focused on taking now that keep you moving in the right direction. You'll see in the workbook, the way we've laid it up is very simply 6 months, 1 month, 1 week, 1 day, today, and then just showing the status quo. Of course, you might add more tracks to this. You might also show more timing if you choose. Yet, I suggest keeping it so simple and practical in a way that it just enables you to keep taking steps. And that's it for this how. It's all it takes. It's all we're looking to do at this point is keep you moving by identifying these steps that you hold yourself accountable to now taking. Now this brings us to the end of the hows. And before we wrap up this track, I just want to hit three frames that are really valuable for me in thinking through these ideas and actually putting it to work. Because I recognize that in some ways the notion of journeying is really hard for our brains. See, our brains don't deal well with uncertainty. And so we like to wrap it up neatly and know exactly this is my 5-step process to make a decision, when the truth is that if you can't yet make a decision, you want to keep hunting, keep searching to the point where you know, because when you know, you know. But that's no excuse for being lazy and saying, I just don't know, so I'm not going to try. But if you're on this journey, living your roadmap, constantly exploring your status quo track and your options, how are you not living the greatest journey of your life? And these three frames can help put some of it in perspective. The first is patience. If I could go back to the year 2000 and have a great chat with myself back then, I would have said it's all good. I would have seen me ferreting, struggling, desperately trying to read books to find answers, and I would have said, kick most of those junk books to the curb. They're written by people who don't know what they're talking about, spewing the same old garbage, goals and planning and all the same stuff over and over again. Instead, enjoy the ride. In truth, I may have kept reading all of those books, but with a totally different attitude. rather than seeing it as, I gotta find an answer, what do I want? If only I know what I want, then I can get it. Desperately trying to make moves in my career, thinking, oh, I gotta figure this out. And I would have read them for interest, for growth, for learning, perhaps. Most of them I wouldn't have read, to be very honest. But I would have been a lot more patient along the way. Instead of building up frustration, build up joy. Get excited about it. Get yourself into that emotion of, ah, I'm on the road, exploring. Think about it like a road trip. We joke about this idea. Are we there yet, Mom? Are we there yet? Because that's what we're mostly like in our lives. We have all these trite phrases. Hey, you know what? It's about the journey, not about the destination. Ah! So many people spew these sorts of ideas, but what does it take for you to really live it? So if you really believe it's about the journey, how are you choosing to journey? And if the destination to life is death, what are we in a rush for? Where are we trying to get to? Are we almost dead yet? Hey, Mom, we almost dead yet? Versus what's that patience, that joy of ride, where we're just playing and loving the journey? How can you get yourself into this mindset more and more? The second frame that has taken me many years to train myself to be good at is uncertainty. Think about this. So much of what our brains need to do is to create certainty. And I won't go into the mechanisms in the brain that require this, but to say, how many things in your life can you feel good about being uncertain on? See, in many ways, the brain craves certainty, but certainty is also boring to us. Think about death. If you knew the day you would die and how you would die, how would that make the rest of your life? I don't know. But the uncertainty of this journey, knowing that there's a clock ticking, maybe this is what makes it so exhilarating, so worthy, so valuable. I don't know. We constantly think we need to have certainty. We get married and we say, for the rest of my life, I'll be with you. Well, why is so many of us divorced? We think we wanted that certainty and then we got certain and we pretended to be certain and then we wanted uncertainty. We didn't want that person anymore. We wanted something different. What about in your career? There was probably a time when you decided this is what I want to do. This company is who I want to work for. Maybe you said I want to be here for the rest of my life. And then something changed and things will most certainly change again. How do we get good with this in our lives? In fact, how do we train ourselves to love uncertainty? As I said, this is one of the things I wish I could go back and poke myself on and say, enjoy the ride. Because in hindsight, for me, the greatest thing that I ever did was wake up in my career at Goldman Sachs and say, is this for me? The truth is, it might have led me to say yes. It might have led me to say no. But the worst way that I would want to be is asleep, droning on, showing up every day, doing my thing, whining about it or being bored with it or not really knowing if there was something else that I really wanted to do. That uncertainty opens the doorway to discovering your greatest truth. Some people, their greatest truth is regret. They wish they could go back to those old things. But do they really? For them to have had regret, they had to have new experiences that changed them. That uncertainty gave them a fresh perspective they didn't have before that. The more we can embrace uncertainty in life, the richer our lives are. Not always for the better, as defined in a certain way, but always for the richer. Because we create new experiences, and these new experiences are who we are. This is the journey of life. If we think we've found the destination, by definition, it's time to move on. Create more uncertainty. Challenge yourself. Explore. Have fun. Get on the joyride. The third frame relates to actions. And there's a number of ideas around actions where, if I'm really frank with you, I got very lucky on. These came very naturally to me. And so whereas I could drive myself nuts hunting for the answer, I was always very consistent in my actions. I found a topic that I'm obsessed with. I can't not do this. When I was on Wall Street trying to figure this out, I didn't know how not to do it, to think about it all the time, to read about it all the time. Today, this is all I do because I'm obsessed with these topics. They're absolutely by far the most interesting things that I can think about. And I want to do it all the time. And this makes it very easy for me to stay consistent. And no matter what you're exploring, on your status quo, on your alternative tracks, on what do you want or what do you do, consistency is key. 10 massive steps today and no steps for the next 6 months is useless compared to half a small step every day. Every day you just get consistent because this is what you're on, the journey. Another area where I got lucky is iteration. You want to constantly iterate because it's what you enjoy. If you're looking for the answer so you can just stop thinking and stop looking and stop searching, then just stay where you are. Because that's the best answer for you. But if you want to be on this journey of actually living, you want to keep iterating. Like that road trip. Imagine you just wanted to put your foot on the gas the whole time and never take it off. How boring. But what if you want to make turns and make stops and make changes along the way? Now you're on an adventure. And if you're on this journey truly hunting for your truth, it's a journey of constant iteration. Seeking, finding, taking this information, updating what you think, seeking, finding more, updating what you think, constantly iterating is the journey of living your grandest life. This brings us to the end of this track in the masterclass. And I only have one exercise for you at the end of this track. It's to work back through all of the tracks. Not necessarily to listen to them, although you might, but to tie together all the exercises. See, where this process of defining it, defining your goals really counts is when you bring it all together. This grandest vision of yours, with your roadmap, honing in on stepping right up to this next step, is your process. And as we've kept hitting in the four-step G to P or four-step goals to process, the entire point is how do you tie this together into an iterative process that you're constantly putting to work. And if you've done the exercises so far, it should be easy to tie it together. Here you've been laying out specific next steps that you're taking and how you're going to be taking them. In the previous track, you had a few boxes on a page. That's all you need for the roadmap. And of course, that all ties together with this grandest vision or grandest visions that we've been creating all along. And now this brings us to the end of this track and to the end of the training tracks in this masterclass. The final track coming up is the deep learning track, which, as I said earlier, is designed a little bit differently. Not to be listened to and worked through in the same way we've listened to these other tracks, but to sit back, close your eyes, and let these ideas integrate all these learnings and deepen this program in your mind.